Genesis 47, the words of the 8th verse will take as our text this morning. In the little rota they have on a Tuesday night, in the bright hour came my turn on Tuesday night past to tell the story in the little series in the life of Joseph in which they're engaged. I thoroughly enjoyed the meeting and I thoroughly enjoyed the study. For the meeting as well, the preparation, reading again some of those details of the life of Joseph. And as I read, there were some other thoughts came to my heart and mind, and I jotted those down separately, and I thought that would make a good word for the Sabbath morning, and it would tie in well with our motto text and the emphasis upon service and the emphasis upon the shortness of our time even here. Upon this earth. So I want us to think of this question, Genesis 47 and the verse 8. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? I want you to think with me of that question. It's a good question, a relevant question for us all. It's a question that each of us have been asked at some stage in life. I would imagine at least once every year when your birthday comes around, and some folk are familiar with that or hear of it, this question would be asked to you at least once every year. How old art thou? On this occasion, it was asked by Pharaoh, the great Egyptian ruler. It was asked by Pharaoh on that occasion when he met Jacob, Joseph's father, for the first time. He had heard much about Jacob. Joseph had often told him about his dad and often told him about his home, but this was the first occasion that Pharaoh ever set his eyes upon the old patriarch. It's interesting, when Pharaoh met Jacob's sons, he asked them a different question back there in verse 3. What is your occupation? Pharaoh was interested in their work, their business, their profession. But whenever Pharaoh met Jacob, he asked him about his age. There was something about the appearance of the old patriarch that impressed Pharaoh. He knew that this was a man that had lived a long time. This is a man that had lived through many varying experiences of life. Now remember that Pharaoh was the ruler of the greatest empire on the earth at that particular time. Pharaoh was no ordinary man. But in the words of our text, the question that he asks, he's asking old Jacob what we could describe as an ordinary question. This is a common question, as I have emphasized to you already, still asked on many occasions, very often today. And what it reveals to us is that Pharaoh and all kings, all rulers, even those in what we would call high office, they have an interest in the same things as you and I. They have an interest in the same things as all of us with regard to others and their lives and their circumstances. And what I want you to consider with me today is this common question. How old art thou? Take it to heart this morning. The question reminds us men and women of the stage of life that we're all at. Encourages all to stop and just think of that. How far along life's journey you have already reached. It causes you to ponder how much of your life is over. It causes you to ponder how much or how little of your life may still be left. As you count your age, whatever it might be, whether you want to disclose it or not, it stresses to all of us men and women that life is passing you by. And it's passing you by so quickly. So just think of it. How old art thou? It's a question that many people don't like. It's a question that many people refuse to answer, especially publicly. But remember, the question is asked here in the Word of God. And I want to urge you to think of it, to consider it. And I want to urge you to answer it today. At very least, to answer it in your own heart as you think of your life and how long that you have lived. How old art thou? How many years have you lived on this earth? By God's grace. Remember, he's the one that gives us every breath, life and breath, and all things freely to enjoy. So how many years have you lived? How many birthdays have you had? How much of your life was already behind you? Consider the question carefully. If you do, men and women, it's profitable, it's wise, and I think as you do it today, it will instruct you greatly for the days ahead, for whatever portion of time you've still left here upon this earth. So here's a common question. But in the following verse, in verse 9, Jacob gives what we can only describe as an uncommon answer to the common question. Look at what he says. Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. That's an uncommon answer to a very common question. And we're going to consider it together. Consider the lessons about life from Jacob's answer to this great question. This common question, familiar question. Jacob's answers that he gives to it here in this place. I want you to notice, first of all, the duration of life. If you look there at the ninth verse, and look at the opening part of that ninth verse, it says, Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. And notice the next word. Nick, compare it with the 130. He says, few and evil of the days of the years of my life been. The duration of his life. So as you think of the question, how old art thou? How old actually was Jacob? What was his age? And you're told there, he stated it himself, he was 130 years of age. Can I put that into perspective for you? In today's terms, that would mean he'd been born in 1888, span 3 centuries. It's a long time ago. And remember, as you think of him as a man at 130, he had just travelled to Egypt from Canaan, not in the greatest of comfort, mind you. He had just walked into the royal palace, and he was now holding a conversation with Pharaoh, the great ruler. So those details in themselves revealed there was still a bit of life left in this old man yet. You know, there's some facts about Jacob's age that are important to note. Keep in mind, he's 130. And follow me carefully as I give you some of these details. Remember that 22 years earlier, Jacob sent Joseph to Shechem to check on his brothers. Where do we get the 22 from? The 22 years, we'll remember Joseph was 17 when his father sent him to Shechem. And he was 30 years of age when he stood before Pharaoh when they brought him out of prison. So there's 13 years. The 7 years of plenty have passed. That makes 20. And if you read the record carefully, another 2 years, 2 years of the famine have now gone. So 22 years in all have run their course since Jacob sent Joseph down into Egypt. And what that means is that Jacob was 108 years of age at that time when he sent Joseph to Shechem. That's part of the part of the story that I told to the children on Tuesday night past. So if Joseph was 17 then, when his father was 108, that means that Jacob was 91 whenever Joseph was born. The 108 minus the 17. Joseph was born approximately 6 years before they left Haran. So that means that Jacob was 97 when the Lord told him to leave Laban and to return back to Canaan, to return back to his home again. And he had been with Laban for 20 years. And just in case you think I'm not making the things up, it's all in the record. If you study it carefully, he had been with Laban for 20 years. So that means he was 77 when he first went, when he first fled from his brother Esau, who had threatened to kill him at that time. He was 77. Not a young fella in his 20s, as many imagine, and as often the storybooks portray. You know, men and women, sometimes when we read the Bible, the stories, the historical accounts, we have the wrong idea entirely of many of the facts and many of the details. So what I want you to see from that is that the greatest events in Jacob's life took place not in the first half, but in the last half of his life. Jacob did great things in the last 70 odd years of his life. Remember too, not all the chapters of the Bible are written in chronological order. In other words, in order of time. We'll find that when we continue the studies in the book of Daniel. Genesis 35 records three deaths, including the death of Isaac, Jacob's father. At that time, Isaac was 180 years of age. And he had lived 43 years, just to point that out. Remember the time he said, "I know not the day of my death"? He was 137 then. 43 years longer he lived from the time that he thought he was going to die. He was 180. And remember that Isaac was 60 years older than Jacob. The Genesis accounts tell us that whenever Abraham's servant brought back Rebekah, and Isaac was married to Rebekah, he was 40, and he prayed for 20 years until God gave them children. God gave them twin boys. So Isaac was 60 years older than Jacob. And what that means is that Jacob was 120 whenever his father Isaac died. The 180 minus the 60. So that was just 10 years before this event here in Genesis 47, when Jacob stood before Pharaoh. Isaac had only died just 10 years before. And remember that Joseph was 22 years away in Egypt. So that means that Isaac knew all about Joseph going to Shechem and the fact that he never came back. That happened 12 years before Isaac died. Joseph would actually have been in prison in Egypt. He had been around 29 years of age at the time that his grandfather Isaac died. Do you remember the 2 years after he interpreted the dream for the butler and the baker, and the butler forgot Joseph? Another 2 years elapsed. And that, it was during that 2 year period, probably right in the middle of it, that's when old Isaac died. So these are very interesting details. For the sake of time, I haven't turned you to the references this morning. I encourage you to read the passages. Study them out for yourself. You know, there's nothing like that makes the truths stick in your heart, that you can remember them and know where to find them, than studying the portions out for yourself. So I hope that what I've said to you this morning might encourage you to do that. So how old was Jacob? For what duration of time had he lived when he stood before Pharaoh? He was 130 years of age. But in verse 9 he says, "Few and evil." He doesn't describe those 130 years as a long period. He describes them as short, just a little while. Doesn't that seem strange to us? But remember, his life was short compared with Abraham, his grandfather, who lived 175. His life certainly was short in comparison with his own father Isaac. As I've told you already, he died at 180. His life certainly was short compared with those who lived before the flood. You think of Methuselah, died at 969 years of age. Methuselah was only a wee boy running about when he was 130 years of age. And just in case there's any doubt in your mind, men and women, all the years were literal. All the years of those patriarchs and those before the flood, the antediluvians and so on, they were all literal years, just the same as you and I live in our day and in our generation. But I want to stress to you that Jacob's life at 130 was short, especially in the light of God's great eternity. The great lesson we learn here, men and women, is the longest of lives. Here's a life much longer than any of us will ever aspire to live. But the longest of lives on this earth are very short. And I want to stress that to you this morning. We're only here for a little while. That means you need to use your days wisely. Teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Need to use every day carefully and wisely. Need to be wise with the life that the Lord gives to you. You need to be saved. You need to be walking with the Lord. You need to be serving Him faithfully day by day. Notice that Jacob speaks of his life, those 130 years, in terms of days. That's how he breaks it down, the days of the years of my pilgrimage. And that's a good way to look at life, men and women. Every day that God gives to you is a blessing. And the reality is, you need to consider every day. Because regardless of what your age is this morning, you've no guarantee of another day. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. So the duration of his life. Think as well of the difficulties of life. He says there in verse 9, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. It is true, Jacob was a great man of faith. He was one of the patriarchs of Israel. But he had also done some very evil things in his life. None of his deeds was more evil than the deception of his own father. Remember how his mother, it's hard even to fathom that his mother would influence him and teach him and school him and instruct him to deceive his father the way that he did and the way that she did. But none of his deeds were more evil than that. The deception of his own father in order to obtain the blessing. And remember, men and women, that deception was something that he reaped bitterly. And he reaped it bitterly at least twice in his lifetime. Not just once, but twice. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You remember he was deceived by Laban to marry Leah. And he was deceived on that occasion probably by Rachel's clothes and some of Rachel's perfume. There's a lot could be said about that. I don't want to dwell on it too long, as how Jacob didn't realize on his wedding night that he'd actually married the wrong woman. But remember that whenever he deceived his father, he put on Esau's clothes. And one of the things that Isaac did to try to determine was this actually Esau was to smell Jacob. And it was the smell of the field came from his clothes. So it was probably one of the factors was that Leah put on some of Rachel's clothes and maybe used some of her scents, some of her perfume. But he was deceived by Laban into marrying Leah. Remember too, he was also deceived by his own sons about Joseph. He had deceived his dad with a kid. The skins of the kid they put on his hands so that old Isaac would think that he was a hairy man, just as Esau was. And his sons did the same thing, killed a kid in order to deceive their father. He reaped it on at least two occasions. So I want you to see, men and women, it is true Jacob's life was marked by evil. But just take a moment and recall today in this meeting, is there some evil period in your life? Maybe you look back and you can recollect this morning. Maybe many years ago, I've given you ages in connection with Jacob this morning. Well, remember that when he deceived his father, standing here before Pharaoh, that was now 53 years ago, over half a century since Jacob deceived Isaac. He had been 77 away back at that time. You may wonder at times what is happening in your life. You may wonder at times, why is this happening to me? Well, remember that for some people, if you look back, you're reaping what you sowed. Reaping the consequences of actions of a former period of your life. So I want you to see Jacob's life had been marked by evil. But that word evil here in the passage, in verse 9, it is the idea of trouble, the idea of trial. And that certainly was the case. Jacob's life was full of troubles. Just think of these facts. As we take a moment to reminisce back over Jacob's 130 years, you think of the trials. Remember, he had to flee for his life from the face of his, not just his brother, but his twin brother. We often hear about twins being so close. So here's a man who had to flee for his very life. And then he had to live in a foreign land. And he lived in that foreign land for over 20 years. All the challenges of a new land, a new culture, a new environment and so on. He had to work hard, very hard out on the land. On one occasion he spoke about working in the sun by day, the heat of that eastern sun, and the frost by night. Just in case you think it doesn't get cold out in those countries, the word of God makes that very clear. For all of those years, those 20 years, he had to work with a conniving, awkward, old father-in-law. And I've probably put that very, very mildly in using those words. Remember too that he walked with a limp after wrestling with the angel at Peniel. Genesis says that the angel touched him in the hollow of his thigh. His thigh was out of joint. He halted upon his thigh. He's a man that walked with a limp. There were no hip operations, no orthopedic surgeons way back then. So for at least 50 years of his life, think of that, at least 50 years, he needed the help of a stick, the help of a staff, and all the restrictions that that would have brought to him. Remember too that he lost his dear wife Rachel, the one that he loved so deeply, lost her in childbearing. At the time she died, they probably hadn't been married even for 20 years. There's a little bit of a difference there among the commentators as to whether or not Jacob actually married Rachel immediately after he married Leah, or whether he had to wait another 7 years. Again, I don't want to take the time to go into that any further this morning. On top of all of those trials, remember he had to cope with the bad behavior of his sons. And that can be one of the greatest pains, the greatest griefs that any parent has to bear. The bad behavior of children that have been brought up well. Let me give you a little flavor of that. One of his sons slept with one of his wives. I'll let you take a wee look and find that too, if you can't think of who it is. Gross immorality. Two of his sons then wiped out the city of Shechem. Remember I told the story to the children of his brethren were feeding the flocks down at Shechem. You'd wonder why they went back to Shechem. The family name, the reputation of the family would have been destroyed in Shechem because of what those two sons did. So that opens up a whole other line of thought as well. But two of his sons wiped out the city of Shechem. Do you remember what he called those two sons in the final great prophecy that Jacob made before he died? Instruments of cruelty. Imagine you're looking back over your life and you're thinking of your children and some of your parting words before you died to two of your children as you were instruments of cruelty. That's how you remembered them, the lives that they lived. 10 of his children collectively deceived him about Joseph. They told him he had been torn by a wild beast. And because of that, for 22 years of his life, he lived with a broken heart, thinking that his beloved son Joseph was dead. And not only dead, but had died such a death, such a tragic, such a death that he'd been torn apart by a wild beast. So Jacob's life was marked by evil and by trouble. Do you remember what Job said? Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. In essence, is that what Jacob's saying here in this text? Doesn't it sum up his life? sums up our lives as well. The reality, men and women, is the few days that you have on this earth, they're going to be full of trouble. And the fact is, the more godly a life you live, the more trouble you are to expect. That's the teaching of the Word of God. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You ask me today, why does the Lord allow such things, such circumstances, such trials in our lives? That's a subject even in itself, but I'll state three of them for you very quickly. Why does he allow such things? Well, one is to test you. You know the hymn we sometimes sing, in the hardness God gives to you chances of proving. The Lord wants to prove you, proving that you are true, that you're the genuine article, that you really are a child of God. A second reason the Lord allows those trials and allows us to go through the fire is to burn up all the dross that is found in your life. And another reason is to draw you closer to Him. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, those afflictions, those trials, have caused me to keep thy word. There's a little, men and women, about the difficulties of life. Let me say this in closing. There's also something here about the description of life. Notice the word pilgrimage that he uses there in verse 9. He said, the days of the years of my pilgrimage. It's also there at the end of the verse. It's used twice. The description is given twice to distress to us. Life is a pilgrimage. What is a pilgrim? A pilgrim's one who's on a journey. They're always on the move. They're not settling down. They're not putting down roots. They're one that's just passing through. Remember, men and women, that's true of us all. We're just passing through. The book of Hebrews says of Abraham and all the patriarchs, they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. A stranger's one that doesn't really belong. We don't really belong here. A pilgrim is one that's not going to stay. And that's how Jacob viewed his life. He didn't belong in this world. And he wasn't here to stay. His life on this earth wasn't going to last forever. And brethren and sisters, so it is for us. So it is today for all of us. We're pilgrims on the earth. We're traveling. We're traveling from this world out into the next. And I want to impress that in your heart this morning. You're not here to stay. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator on this portion of Genesis 47, he said, this earth is your inn, I-N-N, like a hotel. This earth is your inn. It's not your home. What he meant by that, men and women, is that this world is just a temporary dwelling place. And that's how we should view it. And there's a great lesson as we think of this description of life. There's a great warning, and it is, hold loose to the things of this world. Because remember, you can't keep them. You won't be able to take them with you. Not even one of them. And what that means is you need to live for the world to come. Can I put that another way? Maybe a sentence that we're all a little more familiar with. We need to live with eternity's values in view. That's how we need to live in this world. Live every day. Need to set your affections on things above. Too often we set our affections only on things in the earth. We need to lay up treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Don't just live your life to lay up treasure on earth, men and women. So what age art thou? Here's Jacob's answer. Jacob's uncommon answer to one of life's common questions. I'll say this to you, or I'll show you this in closing. It's very interesting. Come down the chapter as far as verse 28. It says, and Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob. Doesn't this help to fill out the picture for us? The whole age of Jacob was 140 and 7 years. We learn that Jacob didn't die. when he was 130. Isn't it interesting? He lived nearly 20 years more, 20 years beyond this. How old was Jacob when he died? What age was he on that great event? The end of his days on this earth, he was 147 years of age. God gave him 17 good years in Egypt. I think it would be true to say God gave him a period of time in Egypt that was far beyond his greatest expectation. And note the number, 17. It's not very significant when you think of the life of his family, and especially when you think of the life of his son Joseph. Joseph was 17 years of age when he went down into Egypt. And what we see here is that Jacob enjoyed Joseph for another 17 years. Jacob had enjoyed his beloved son for 17 years in Hebron, and now the Lord gave him 17 more years to enjoy Joseph in the land of Egypt. He gave him another 17 years with this lad before he died. What grace, what goodness, what mercy. And that grace and goodness and mercy, although Joseph at times, or Jacob at times, didn't realize it, it had followed him all the days of his life. Remember, he never expected to see Joseph again after what his brothers told him, or his sons told him. He said to Joseph at the time that he was going to bless Manasseh and Ephraim, "I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed." Remember too that he said, "All these things are against me." That was the great lamentation, the great cry of his heart whenever his sons said they had to take Benjamin with them down into Egypt. "All these events are against me." Maybe that's how you feel this morning. He lamented to his sons, "Ye shall bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave." He thought his days on this earth would end in great grief. But I want you to see, men and women, his life didn't end as he expected. Far from it. God's hand was in control. God's hand was on every detail, overruling, fulfilling his great purposes. And I want you to be encouraged today to learn that however dark, however bleak your circumstances may be at this moment, you keep trusting and you keep looking to the Lord. What we learn from Jacob's life and the end of Jacob's life, those 17 years, is there are better days ahead. Maybe better years. Think of it, God gave him nearly 20 years of great blessing in the land of Egypt. There are better years ahead, men and women, in your life, in this church, in the work of God, in the cause of the gospel, in this land of ours. I think the old saying sums it up well. Dr. Paisley often repeated it to us. Let me remind you of it as I close this morning. The best is yet to be, and the end is not yet. Amen, and praise the Lord. So how old art thou? Take that to heart, men and women. Ponder it carefully as you leave the Lord's house this morning. It's 523.